Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 14, The Lord's My Shepherd. 14. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the Lord's name be praised. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are worthy of praise from every mouth, worthy of worship from every creature. Heaven and earth are full of your praises. Glory be to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God, it is with contrite hearts that we return to you today. We come confessing our sins and seeking your pardon. Come into our lives and cleanse and purify them. Help us to overcome the temptations which so easily get the better of us. Guide us in the way which leads to peace. Help us to see the need of our neighbour when it is there. Make us ready to give what we can to meet that need. Help us to see the opportunities of service when they present themselves in the course of daily life. Help us to take those opportunities. Help us to rise above what we have been and to be better and more faithful servants. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. We say good morning especially to the people of the Jesus and Me Club joining us on this, the last Sunday of the month, and they are ready to present to us their latest presentation. Mrs. Louisa Chisholm in charge, thank you.
This month, the children were discussing how to make themselves a better me. They drew self-portraits and wrote down three things they liked about each other. We then had a story about being considerate, which was based loosely around Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They also did lovely portraits here at the front with wool, and thankfully I only needed brown and yellow because it's quite good actually, there's only two different colours of hair. And they've also learned the songs they're going to sing now.
Standing in
Thank you, Louisa, and the young people. Now we sing the young people's hymn, number 184, Sing to the Lord a Joyful Song, 184. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the second book of Kings, chapter 5, at verse 1. 2 Kings, chapter 5, at verse 1. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier. But he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel chapter 1 at verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, see that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 190, Art Thou Afraid? 190.
Thank you.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." If we were to sit down with the Bible and read systematically through it, writing down every time we came to a sentence which we thought was memorable in some way, stood out from the rest, we could probably fill a notebook or two. There are some really memorable sentences in the Bible, and this is surely one of the most significant. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man who had leprosy. Some forms of leprosy still exist today, but we don't come across any cases in the ordinary course of our day-to-day living. But in the days of Jesus' earthly life, this was a very real issue. Leprosy was a very common phenomenon. It was a killer disease, and it usually didn't kill people quickly. The person affected by it went on suffering the disease for a long time, getting progressively worse, living as a complete outcast from society. It's this last point which gives significance to the passage we were reading today. The leper was an outcast. He had to withdraw from the local community and go and live in the wilds somewhere, out of the way of the ordinary people, somewhere his disease would not be a threat to others. But when Jesus came on the scene, this leper didn't keep away, did he? He came and approached Jesus and asked Jesus to cleanse him of his leprosy. Mark, the gospel writer, doesn't say where exactly Jesus was at the time that the leper accosted him. In Mark's account, this episode follows directly after he said that Jesus went to the synagogues and preached and taught and healed. So in all probability, it was in a synagogue that this happened. That was where people frequently approached Jesus. The leper could probably have sneaked into the synagogue, although he was not supposed to be there. The law forbade him to be in any place like that where the public would be gathering. But evidently this leper didn't care about that. He had heard about Jesus. He knew about the healing power which Jesus had exercised. And he saw this as a possibility, a chance he might at last get cured of his disease. In those days, no doubt, if you were a leper, being cured was the ultimate pinnacle of your hopes and prayers, being cured of your leprosy so that you could resume a normal life. Some of them might have difficulty in remembering what a normal life was. It would be a fond hope with little chance of its ever being realized. But for this man now, here was Jesus, the man who had come on the scene with amazing power to cure diseases. And somehow the leper had got close enough to him to make this request. Mark doesn't say anything about how the man got there. If it had been in a synagogue, we might have thought there would have been stewards to keep him out. But however he got there, the people there must have been astonished to see a leper at such close quarters. Their amazement doubtless increased as this man's encounter with Jesus progressed. Things happened which the ordinary people would never have expected to happen. People who have studied those things tell us that there were two kinds of leprosy, nodular and anesthetic. Nodular leprosy involved pains in the joints, then nodules forming on parts of the body. Anesthetic leprosy found the sufferer losing all sensation in the affected parts, and then patches and blotches appearing on the skin. Those two forms of leprosy were not curable, but the term leprosy was also used to cover other skin diseases. And so when we hear of lepers being cured, it was likely one of those other forms of the disease which they had. Well, the people in the synagogue or wherever Jesus was when this leper accosted him, the people would be amazed to find a leper there, taken aback to find the leper approaching Jesus and asking for his help, and completely thunderstruck when Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. That was the most astonishing thing of all. Surprising as it was that the leper got there and that he made bold to ask Jesus for help, it was at least understandable that the man wanted to do this. It was not lawful for him to do it, to come where other people were and to approach a person, any person, for any reason. But people could understand him wanting to do it. It was Jesus whose action they could not understand. Jesus surely knew as well as anyone what kind of a thing leprosy was. He knew the laws about protecting the general public from the infection and contagion of leprosy. But Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, deliberately, knowing the implications, fully aware of the risks, aware too of the law which was there to give protection. In spite of all that, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Admittedly, to get the full impact of that sentence, we have to realize what leprosy was and how it was looked upon in those days. But given that we do know something of that, this one sentence stands out in all the words of the gospel. It's not even a whole sentence. Part of a sentence in Mark's account, Jesus reached out and touched the man. No one else there would have done that. None of those there would have expected Jesus to do it. So here we have another point at which people were compelled to realize that Jesus was different. Jesus was bringing something completely new into the human situation. What we have to realize is that Jesus Christ is still doing that which he did then, still reaching out to people, people to whom no one else would dream of reaching out. Jesus cares about the human situation, the troubles people experience, the pressures people are under. That means several things. It brings us a message in several different parts. It means, first of all, that no matter what we have to undergo, the Lord Jesus Christ is there to help us with it. Even if our trouble is such that there's no help to be expected from anyone else or any other source, Jesus reaches out his hand and touches. And when he touches, there is healing. That's one thing, a very encouraging point. And then there is the challenge. We have to take our thinking about the episode a stage further. If Jesus is still today engaged in helping people with their trouble, if he's still touching where the source of the trouble is, then that is likewise the duty of the Christian church and the duty of the individual Christian. I have known from a very early age, and I've never had any reason to modify the knowledge, I've always known that I was not cut out to be a medical doctor. The things a doctor sometimes has to do, the things he has to see and touch, the delicate operations which a surgeon has sometimes to carry out, I could never have done it. I have a profound admiration for the skill and the mental capacity of those who can do it. More than once in my life so far, I've had occasion to be grateful for that skill and that ability. But all the time I've known that that was not me. That was not my lot in life. If God has endowed me with any measure of ability, it's not in that particular field. That thought comes to many of us as a kind of comfort, I'm sure. We're not all called upon to be medical doctors, to deal with disease and the awful things which can happen to a human body. God endows some of us with talent for that kind of expertise, and to others of us he gives other talents. But to come back again to the words of our text, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Surely what this passage is telling us, its message for us, 20 centuries after the incident took place, its message is that the Lord Jesus Christ has compassion. Jesus didn't subject the sufferer to an inquiry such as he might have had to undergo in the A&E department or any other department of a hospital today. Jesus dealt with the trouble straight away because of his compassion. When he had cleansed him, Jesus sent the man to carry out the prescribed ritual. As we've said, some lepers did get cured, and although their trouble was more likely one of the milder forms of the skin disease, there was a procedure to be gone through to certify the cure. So Jesus was not defying the existing convention. He was going along with it when the situation demanded. What we're seeing, therefore, in this episode is the compassion of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the wisdom of Jesus, all combined in one situation. And that tells us what Jesus Christ is like, what he's like today, what he's like for you and me in whatever situation may occur in our life. Compassionate, knowing what our situation is and caring about it, powerful to deal with it, and wise to guide us through it. Such a Lord as this is the Lord who invites us to follow him. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 457, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, 457. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in glad thanksgiving for your goodness, we present our offerings. We ask you to bless them for your purpose and to grant us the power to offer our very selves to you, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for your acceptance. We thank you for all your love and kindness, your constant care over all your creation, for the gift of life, your guiding hand upon us, your sustaining love within us, for friendship and duty, good hopes and precious memories, the joys which cheer us, and the trials which teach us to trust you more firmly. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, for the living presence of your Holy Spirit, for the Church, the ministry of word and sacrament, and all the means of grace. From everlasting to everlasting, you are our God, blessed forever. Lord, as you care for all your creatures, we pray now for our human brothers and sisters. Bless the Church here in this place and everywhere in the world. Bless the Queen and those in positions of authority and responsibility. Guide with your wisdom the rulers of nations, that the earth may be filled with the knowledge of your love. Bless with your comfort those in trouble or pain. Be near to those of whom we are especially thinking today, and keep them in your peace and love. Eternal God, you hold all souls in life. We thank you for your people of every age and every place, and for those dear to our own hearts who have completed this earthly sojourn ahead of us in terms of time. Inspire us by their example, encourage us by their continued fellowship, and bring us with them to your heavenly kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise, number 553, Just As I Am, 553.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.